You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free to play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back. Happy Skews Day to you. It's February 21st, 2023. I'm Trey Crowder. That's Mark Agee. What's up, Mark?
What's up, Trey? Happy President's Day, bud. How'd you celebrate? Did you leave some top secret documents out for President Claus?
Yeah. You know, had numerous extramarital affairs and, you know, overthrew a country in Central America. Yeah.
All the hits.
Yeah. What the hell are you supposed to? Just be off work, I guess, is what you're supposed to do on President's Day. If you got to, it's just like, here's a day off because we have presidents. I mean, you know, it's fine with me. It's
a chance to learn trivia, at least, which I learned a fun fact yesterday. I guess you already knew it, but President John Tyler, who was America's 10th president, who was born under George Washington and owned slaves, still has a living grandson. Yeah. So crazy. Whenever people tell you, like, slavery was a long time ago, be like, well, this guy sat on the knee of a slave owner. And by the way, he still lives their family estate, which is still called a plantation. So there you go. Shout out to my home state of Virginia.
Change, am I right? But yeah, they John Tyler's grandson, he used to have two living grandsons. I guess one of them finally kicked it. But they're so it's one of those deals where, like you said, he was president in like the 1840s or something like that. John Tyler was, I think, 1840s, 1850, a long ass time ago. And he had a kid when he was old as shit. And then that dude had kids when he was old as shit, and one of those kids is still alive with a papaw from the antebellum era. So pretty crazy.
Tyler apparently said politically he was opposed to slavery while still owning people. So politicians always be the same. Also, in other presidential news, Jimmy Carter has entered hospice, so he's getting to die probably the best way, which is surrounded by loved ones, shot up with all the drugs you can find. So good for him.
Where are you at on Jimmy? I talked about Jimmy Carter on my Patreon this week because it was President's Day and because of that. And so, like, the cliche about Jimmy Carter is, not a great president, but a great man, or not a great president, but maybe the greatest ex-president we've ever had. And those types of sentiments. Is that you agree with that?
That's fair. I just think the actual record for Carter's presidency is misremembered because people have sort of adopted Reagan's criticisms of him as the takeaway. Right. Like, he was some, like, he wasn't popular because he was some huge left winger who was, like, way too progressive. That's not true. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like my presidency is a mixed bag, and I'll have a lot more to say about it after he passes. I had a bunch of stuff prepped for the show. You can see I struck through in the lineup, but I thought we have a lot of show today, so. I thought we'll save it for the RIP stuff, because I think it's important to talk about people's actual legacies, because, like, how do you learn from stuff if you don't – it's not that I want to speak ill of the dead and spit on someone's grave, but, like, if you don't do honest appraisals of the history, how do you learn from it to do better?
Yeah, that's a forward? novel and threatening concept right there, Mark. You better watch it. You're sounding a little critical race theory-y over there.
Yeah.
But what was our president up to on President's Day?
He was He was over in Ukraine. He snuck into Ukraine on a train out of Germany or Poland, I think. He's the first president to not have U.S. military covering a war zone. But I guess they told Russia Biden was going in case they're planning on nuking it. Say, no, they probably ought not do that at that particular date. I guess his speech is a real success. And I guess it makes sense why he hasn't been to East Palestine yet, because obviously this has been planned for a while and it had to be secretive about it. Maybe he should have gone to East Palestine because Trump did. And they're already like, whenever you leave a vacuum, the assholes in our country flood it with bullshit, right? Mm-hmm.
So Trump went there? He went to?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he gave a long rambling speech about how East Palestine wouldn't have happened if he was president for some reason. Also, he could end the war in Ukraine in a single day. And he also announced a plan when he's president again to have the Department of Justice take over school discipline. So now the federal government, this part of small government is going to have FBI agents spanking your kid for, running in the halls or whatever. So speaking of East Palestine, we did, the whole episode on it last week and talked about a little bit in the Patreon, a little bit of an update. Mike DeWine, the governor of Ohio and the CEO of Norfolk Southern, went to East Palestine today and did a big thing where they drank the tap water. So yeah, good for them for that, I guess. But I'm sure someone tested it for them first.
I can't remember which, environmental disaster it was, but there was like a famous moment right in the past few years where like it was with fracking or something. And the CEO was at a town hall meeting and somebody gave them poured him a glass of water and he famously refused to drink it. And which was obviously a huge PR nightmare. I don't remember the specifics of it, but I feel like, you kind of got to drink the water in this scenario. But also I read that the water they drink in their town is from super deep underground and a big steel reservoir or whatever. So the shit that's slowly seeping into the ground and fucking killing and poisoning everything there, it ain't made it yet. And then we'll have to permeate the steel first. So they're probably fine. Not the fishies though, or anybody with well water or so many or other lungs. Things. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
And also drinking it once might not be the big problem, but drinking it every day for 50 years, is a totally different thing. So Mike DeWine, drink the water from East Palestine every day for 50 years challenge. There's another train derailment today, by the way, in Nebraska, a dozen cars dumped a bunch of coal.
Is this the spy balloon thing? Is it
somewhat?
Has this just been happening, but people, they weren't newsworthy or whatever. But now that one happened, they're being reported or what? Cause there's been a seemingly alarmingly large number of train derailments recently, but maybe that's just the status quo. Maybe they just stayed derailing. I don't know.
Yeah, trains do. Pete Buttigieg went on TV and made that point that train derailments happen all the time. But and I also saw someone people like me are somehow being, unfair because train, I threw out the stat last week about how many more train derailments America has relative to other countries. They're saying, train derailments in America are down, actually. It's been going down for years and years and years. So what, the people in East Palestine should suck it up and die because...
Yeah. We're working on it. The stats are getting better,
I'm sure it makes them feel better, right? I'm sorry. I'm sorry your kid might get cancer, but look at this graph.
Right, exactly. And it's also listen, calm down. Trains derail all the time. And it's that don't really make me feel any better about it. Just now, knowing that doesn't really change anything or change the fact that they probably ought not. And maybe we should be doing shit to prevent them from doing so, in the future. But what do I know? I'm not a train guy.
It doesn't change the fact that the derailment would have been a lot less bad if they had invested in better brakes. It doesn't change the fact that it's crooked as shit. This train carrying hazardous materials didn't have to abide by the hazardous material regulations because they made the train so goddamn long and clumsy that the relative hazardous cargo was a relatively small amount of its cargo. None of that stuff fucking has anything to do with the fact that train derailments are going down. It's still a fucked up situation. And people can eat shit if they want to tell me it's not a big deal because of some chart. Okay, but I'm thinking about the current state of federal regulation, and I came across these two stories that are from last November, December. Here's the first one from December. No co-pilot, airlines lobby for change of regulations.
I remember this.
Yeah,
because I fly a lot, and so this one stood out to me.
So yeah, they want to lobby the federal government to let them only have one pilot per plane because they say, well, autopilot's gotten real good, and also they have staffing problems because they don't want to pay to train new pilots, and their two main pipelines, we talked about this before, are hobby pilots who have flown enough hours to qualify for to fly commercial airliners. So unless you're wealthy and have your own plane, you're not in that pipeline. Or number two, military veterans. And since we're using a lot of drones now, there are less of those to hire after they retire. So their solution to that problem, instead of paying to do their own training, is to let the federal government fly with one person. Which, keep that in mind, this story happened about a week or two before this story about their lobbying. Pilot dials were taking, plane takes off from Chicago, and his co-pilot successfully landed the plane because it was lucky they fucking had two. And this is not the first,
What is supposed to happen if they go down to one pilot per plane? They're like, oh, autopilot's great now, but can autopilot just do everything? And if it can, why do we even still have the goddamn pilots? I'm assuming it's got some limitations, and if it does, what happens when that one pilot has a massive heart attack or whatever? Because it's bound to happen eventually, as you said. It just happened 2 weeks before they started lobbying for this. What is supposed to take place in that eventuality under their plan? Like just a crash? The head flight attendant will go in there and they'll fucking walk them through it. Like in that old 90s movie with, I think, Anne Heche or whoever it was. Turbulence. Anyway, that's a deep pull. Anyway, go ahead.
Or Airplane. So I think my read of this is they've crunched the numbers and they make more profit paying to deal with an occasional crash than they would by training new pilots. But it's not just the heart attack scenario. This is from the first article. This happened in 2015. A co-pilot of a German Wings flight locked the pilot out of the cockpit and deliberately crashed the plane, killed himself and 149 other people. So it's not just physical problems, psychological problems. The other reason you want to have two pilots in the cockpit.
Right. Yeah. I remember that. That was a huge fucking thing. That was terrible. They ended up, they made changes to the doors and shit, right? Like the cockpit doors where you can't, because they used to could just like turn around and fucking, you know, flip the lock and now nobody can get in there, but I guess they can't do that anymore. But, still, I don't want to be on a plane with only one pilot, up there, no matter what. And I'd be on a lot of planes. So,
There's also a miracle on the Hudson. Sully Sullenberger gets all the credit, but he had a co-pilot by the name of Jeffrey Skiles who he needed to do that landing. Sullenberger just had to rank. There were 57 people would have died on that heart attack flight, and 150 would have died on the Sully Sullenberger flight. And so they did the math and be like, yeah, we can afford that many settlements, so we only need one pilot. Yeah.
Capitalism, baby. Oh, all hail. All right. Well, let's do it. With us, as always, is producer Matt. This is Weekly Skews. Before we continue, I need to remind you all of a couple of things, three to be exact. First of all, if you'd like to see me live, go to treycrowder.com. Check out my upcoming dates. We're having a lot of fun with it. Thanks to everybody in Missouri this past weekend. Great shows. Should have a bunch more coming up soon. Booking them all the time. So go to treycrowder.com. Come and see me. Number two, if you enjoy this program and would like to show your support, you can do so by signing up on Patreon. $5 a month gets you access to full-length bonus episodes. We cover things we don't get to in the main show or shit that comes up in between. We answer questions. We do all kinds of fun stuff. So go to weeklyskews.com/more, or you can just go on Patreon and look me up and sign up on there, get some more skews in your life. And then the third and new item of business is that I, as well as Corey and Drew, the well-read guys, we all have specials, comedy specials available on Amazon now. Mine is called Damn Boy. They each have their own. You can buy them as a well-read package, or you can get them individually, either way. So go on Amazon and check that out. We would appreciate it. Okay. As for the show tonight, you will be very shocked to learn that it turns out George Santos is not the only pathological liar among the ranks of incoming Republican Congress people. We got two more for you as we go through. Also, the basement-based conspiracy theorists of the world have identified a new and alarming threat to your liberty and livelihood: convenience. That's right. The concept of urban efficiency must be stamped out at all costs, lest the communists win. I know that doesn't make any sense. I can't promise that it will later, but we'll do our best. And so we got all that and more for you on the Skews tonight. But first, of course, we begin with the Daily Dumbass. Matt, graphic, please. Tonight's PD, people at Harvard Law School for being shocked to learn the question, is Donald Trump a criminal, isn't a calculus problem. Let's see here. This is from the Georgia case with Trump and the election.
Sir, we have breaking news from the Associated Press and the New York Times. The forewoman in the special grand jury investigating Donald Trump's potential election interference in 2020 has given an on-the-record interview to both news organizations, telling the Times the jury recommended multiple indictments. It's not a short list, she's quoted as saying. Asked whether Donald Trump was one of them, she responded, "You're not going to be shocked. It's not rocket science." And adding, "You won't be too surprised."
Though this woman hits for me. She's like, amazing.
Like, what do you think? Like, just Donald Trump a criminal?
It's like,
yes, you guys have been paying attention lately or not, but.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like if you ask a regular person, is the sky blue? And they go, yes. And you ask the scientist, they go, well, actually, it's light refracted. And you're told, they're right. You're not. It's like, shut the fuck up. I know what I'm looking at. And it's amazing you ask a regular person, they got a grand jury of regular people to look at the shit Trump did. And this woman apparently seems really frustrated by the national discourse around this by people who are way overeducated. And so she says it's not a short list of the people being charged. She also, the jury appended 8 pages of legal code that we cited at various points. The jury did their own legal research to point to these lawyers, like, look at these fucking crimes they did. Oh my God. Yeah. Just like, dude, it's like everybody who didn't go to Harvard or Yale is like, will you people just do the fucking obvious thing that is your job? And everyone's like, right. Well, actually, technically, it's like, shut the fuck up. Just do something.
Yeah, I know. Well, I mean, it is very frustrating in that way, but it's also like, I mean, you know, we've said it a million times on here every time it comes up. Like, I just never have expected that to happen anyway. Like, you know, actual legal consequences just because of like that's America and he is who he is and that's how things work. But it's still, I mean, you're right. It's still like from any like regular person's perspective, it's like, what the fuck is every now and then a new headline will come out kind of like this one, you know, where it's like alluding to these, you know, legal ramifications that are cooking or like shocking new developments or whatever. And every single time it's like, okay, well, so is something going to happen now? Like, or is this, or, you know, it'll just be a couple more weeks and then there'll be another headline like this. And, you know, or will something ever actually happen?
I think this woman spent 7 months in this grand jury. So she knows how these people are and she knows how the lunatics can respond to this. So she outed herself, put her name on it, made herself the subject of death threats to come forward and be like, well, somebody please hold someone accountable. And I'm like, you are still like, even if Trump got charged, the space between him being charged and any suffering any sort of consequence is vast, right?
Right.
So I still don't think anything actually happened, but it's like, this is all going to be frustrating. I just want to talk about it from that lens. Cause it's like, man, I didn't go to law school, but I saw a guy mug an old lady.
Right. Pretty sure that was a crime.
Yeah. So, yeah. And well, it's if you think about space-time continuum, maybe she mugged him. Okay, shut the fuck up. All right,
our first honorable mention for Daily Dumbass is anybody who thought the right couldn't make their own version of Hamilton. This is from Project Veritas founder James O'Keefe, who apparently is a big theater guy. He spent Veritas's money putting this project together. So I hope you all enjoy it. Go ahead, Matt.
I just can't believe that my face is on TV. Oligarchy. Am I left or right? M-O-G-O-E. Oligarchy. Do I have been true? Does truth have been to me?
James O'Keefe is suing Twitter for defamation.
You got it, Matt. So
you get it. There's quite a bit more though.
He's made a ton of these. So I want to talk about this guy because his journey is important. He's been a tremendously successful right wing propagandist and also, criminal. But we'll go to talk about the success part first. So if you remember the controversy, slash conspiracy theory at the beginning of Obama's presidency about Acorn.
I remember it being a thing. I remember Veritas like blowing it all up and all that, but I don't remember the specifics though. It was like eco-terrorism, right? Was like the accusation or whatever, or what they're
no
to be, something like that.
This one was he went undercover into an Acorn office to talk to some organizers and pretended. If you look at the edited version of the video, he's pretending to be a pimp and he's asking them for legal advice on how to manipulate his hose or whatever. All right. That's not at all what happened. It doesn't matter. The video went viral. The Obama administration completely cowardly backed down. Congress cut off funding for it. And this group was very successful at registering people to vote among connecting them with other resources. Now think about how much different the last, 15 years would look if we still had our country's most successful political voter registration organization. Anyway, by the time anybody got around to looking into the actual factual claims in it, they were all wrong. Like they were all off. Nobody pressed any charges. They weren't just not indicted. They were cleared. The General Accounting Office and law enforcement of California and the feds say, nope, they didn't do anything wrong. Doesn't matter. They're out of business.
That's one of those things, man. It's like, can't get that genie back in the bottle. Like the narrative got set or whatever, and the decision was made basically, and then they were fucked. And then it doesn't matter, mm-hmm. Any kind of exoneration after the fact. Cause I think I'd heard because of Veritas and what they do and all that shit. I feel like I'd heard at some point that a lot of it was bullshit, but again, it doesn't matter. Like the damage mm-hmm. was done. So
right.
What are you going to do?
Right. And so he's done a bunch of other shit too. Like he did jail time for trying to bug a Democratic politician's office. He's also in legal hot water right now because it's lesser than the Hunter Biden scandal, but also Ashley Biden, Joe's daughter, her diary got stolen and plastered all over the internet. And two guys in Florida pleaded guilty to stealing it. The case against Akeefe is about whether he ordered it or just accepted it after the fact. The government's theory of the case is that he paid them to do it, which is a big no-no. Now, journalists can print stolen materials if they're not involved in the, in the actual theft. That's the First Amendment. That's how we're allowed to print the Pentagon Papers, right? So, none of that's the reason they fired him. They fired him for shit like that music video. He spent money on dumb shit like that dance video, which he made several. He filmed a production of Oklahoma. He did a music video where he danced to Thriller. It doesn't even have political content. So this Project Veritas paid for like all this shit. And all this stuff, like he spent $14,000 on a charter flight to meet someone to fix his boat and pretended he was meeting with a donor. He spent $60,000 on dance parties, $150,000 on car services, and he bought personal DJ equipment with the company's money, the organization's money. And all this was chasing donors away. That's why he got fired.
Yeah, well, I was going to ask like where, they get their money, and it's from like, is it from regular people, regular, lunatic people, or is it from like big private benefactors, like Koch brother type shit that fund them?
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. so those people find out he's, blowing $150,000 on a DJ and a limo and stuff. And so then that is what makes the difference.
Yeah. He's like, you're supposed to be using your power of your propaganda to turn children and middle-aged people into adult psychos who get mad about drag queens. But instead, what he did was he used $25,000 to fly his employees to attend a performance of Oklahoma. He did it at a theater in Virginia. So he just like, I imagine nobody else would be there if he didn't make his employees show up. So instead he paid $25,000 to have people.
He was also a bit of a meanie, right? Kind of a jerk, this guy.
Yeah.
Not a great boss, I heard.
Yeah, he would apparently spit in his employees' faces over tweets. He would threaten them. He made them undergo lie detectors, and he stole a pregnant woman's sandwich. Here's the thing about stealing the pregnant woman's sandwich. That's not even the stupidest part of it, because he was being sued by some Democratic organization who he'd done some chicanery to, and he was hungry in the middle of the trial. And he yelled at one of his employees about the fact he was hungry. And then he stole the pregnant woman's sandwich in front of the jury, who then, of course, decided against his organization.
Oh, my God.
Hundreds of thousands of dollars by stealing. I'm sure he might have been found. They might have decided against him anyway. But I'm sure stealing a pregnant woman's sandwich in front of a jury doesn't fucking help.
It's so wild that our society is like set up to reward people that are this maniacally shitty. Do you know what I mean? Because like this dude, it just seems like, how do you not know any better than to act that way? But I mean, he's been validated for the most part along the way up until recently, found mm-hmm. great success in the propaganda game by being a lunatic asshole. So
he'll rise again. And it's also like the people that are fans of him are saying he was a globalist deep state that outed him at Project Veritas, and that like I guess the Koch brothers have gone woke now because they don't want their money being spent on performances of Oklahoma. It's just all so fucking stupid.
Our last honorable mention is anyone who thought that medieval knights wouldn't stand up to tyrannical overlords. That's right. It's happening right now in our society. Medieval times is experiencing a labor strike. The knights, they said no. They said no. They threw down their lances and spears in disgust and just thrown them for a loop.
So this is happening in Southern California. They're protesting unsafe working conditions, unfair labor practices, I should say, and the fact they get paid $18 an hour. If you guys, I did a couple corporate events for medieval times in Dallas, and I was still doing stand-up, including like their office Christmas party. So I know more about this than I should, but like it's a pretty thorough training process to become a knight at medieval times. Like you really do start off as a squire and learn how to do stage combat and shit and how to ride horses and stuff. So like $18 an hour to live in Southern California is not a lot. So anyway, that's why they're on strike. And so they're using scab, using a bunch of different kinds of scab labor here. They flew in. Here's the fucked up part. They flew in knights from other castles around the country and are putting them up and paying them, what do you call per diems and shit. Mm-hmm. When they could just give that money to these people and get them back to work.
Right.
But so one of the scabs, they tried off, they bumped up a squire or something to a job he wasn't ready for. But you recall from the story, there's a standard moment in the medieval times show where the chancellor invites any knights to leave if they believe the danger of combat is too great. If any of you should lament this petition, it's dangerous. You are free now to retire in honor. It's a perfunctory overture that brave knights always decline. But in this case, the employees told Huffington Post, the substitute knight took the chancellor's offer and fled the arena on his horse, never to return.
Yeah, it's a really funny moment if you think about it, because it's like every show they have there has this moment where they're giving up. If you feel your life is at too great a risk, you may leave and retain your honor or whatever. But like, no one ever does that. They're all like, no, let's do this shit. But this guy, this bumped up squire or horse trainer or whatever he was like, fuck it, all right, and just bounced on a horse or just rode out. But they didn't know he was going to do that. So, you know, everybody was sitting there like, well, wait, what do we – Gary left. Like, what do we do now? Who's going to – do we just do it without Gary or what?
You show up to your job as a stable boy or whatever, and they're like, well, tonight you're the Green Knight. And he's like, well, wait, I don't – when they swing the sword at me, I don't know when to duck. And I haven't been trained on this. But, Trey, can you imagine how freeing it is to say, fuck you, I quit, and gallop away on a horse? Oh, my God. Yeah. What an amazing moment.
Yeah, that's got to be one of the hardest hitting ways to quit a job, for sure, on your fucking, you know, trusty steed.
There's also something deeply hilarious to me about, like, people who play knights and queens are trying to overthrow a feudal system. It'd be like if there was an anti-racist Confederate Civil War reenactor or some shit. I don't even know how to categorize this. But in other labor news, I wanted to talk about this real quick. The Warrior Met strike in Alabama is ending because the employees have realized they're probably not going to win this way. And they've been on strike 23 months. What happened was, because of spiking energy prices, the coal company had a huge windfall, so the strike didn't hurt them at all economically, so they had no power to negotiate. And so these guys said, okay, I guess we have to go back to work on this shitty old contract. So sad you guys, they're still negotiating. They're just negotiating while they're working, but I'm sad they lost for the moment. Solidarity forever, guys. Hope you get them on the next one.
Yeah. But yeah, early in COVID, they never shut down. They kept mining or whatever, which allowed them to stockpile a shitload of coal. So then they had that in reserve when like the strike started, and then also coal skyrocketed in price and they brought in a bunch of scabs and all this shit, made a whole bunch of money, and it wasn't really having any effect. So it's a bummer.
They got screwed over by the government. They got screwed over by the coal company. It was a lot. They did a lot of things working against them. So, yeah. Federal judge ruled they couldn't protest. They couldn't actually march for the strike. So, yeah.
Yeah, that doesn't seem cool to me on behalf of that federal judge. But again, you know, I'm not a lawyer, so what the hell do I know? Mm-hmm. Let's get in. You know who else isn't a lawyer? A lot of people, including some people in Congress. That was a terrible segue because I don't think she
even some who say they're lawyers, apparently. But yeah,
I know. I was thinking that, and then I was like, but did one of them say it was a lawyer? Anyway, like I said up top, there's some new hot new liars just dropped from the Republican Party. You've been hearing about George Santos. Of course, we all knew Herschel Walker. He got beat, and then there was George Santos. Now there's Anna Paulina Luna, who's come up on the show before, former Maxim model, flipped a district in Florida, a Republican congresswoman down there, and she's made an assortment of claims along the campaign trail and in interviews, and it seems that they may be at the least somewhat dubious, Mark. So to begin with, she has often claimed that she grew up very poor and was isolated and shunned by her family and had no support.
Yeah, Washington Post reporting says that Luna's relative said she was coddled by her uncle and cousins as a kid and always attended family gatherings. She had everything, what she needed and more. And service members, she was in the Air Force, and people she served with said they always got the impression she came from a well-off family, claiming that she wore designer clothing and mentioned having nannies as a child.
Yeah. So she's bullshitting one way or the other, right? Like, yeah. She used to tell people, oh, yeah, I remember my nannies when I was a kid. So either she was a rich kid or she was bullshitting then, or, you know, it's just bullshit all the way down. She also is often told a story about surviving a home invasion when she was stationed in Missouri during her time in the Air Force.
Yeah, the Post talked to her roommate at the time and said there was a break-in, but no one was home.
Right. And it was during the day, right? Like she said, it was the middle of the night, violent break in. Thank God there was this guy there to protect her and all this stuff. But according to the roommate, their apartment was broken into in the middle of the day when nobody was home and they never encountered the person.
Going back to the first thing for a second about whether she grew up.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind numbing small talk. And maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news. It doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Moto Casino. America's
social casino. Poor or not. Now, that's not even one of those things where either one's true or the other one's true. She could have been middle class and both of them are lies, right? So, like, but it seems to me that, like, you're in the Air Force, you're around broke people, you pretend to be rich to be special, and you're in Congress around a bunch of rich people, you pretend you can't pull yourself up by your bootstraps to feel special. She's just trying to be special. That seems pretty straightforward to me. All right, sorry, I just want to say that.
That's all right. So she also has often talked about her father being incarcerated when she was growing up. Her father, the convict, the felon.
No record of it. No record of it whatsoever. Doesn't exist. Her father, who apparently either abandoned her family or not, didn't spend any time in jail, as far as anyone can tell. And jails keep records, Trey. It's one thing the government's very good at is keeping a list of people who do crimes. So there you go.
All right. Also, she is of Mexican heritage and has always been very open and proud of that fact.
This one's complicated. And of course, it's not for me to judge her identity or how she wants to go, but she has presented herself. She's changed her surname a few times. She used to go by Anna Paulina Meyerhofer. And I guess, like, this makes sense. I'll be generous here. She got divorced, and so she changed her name back to her mother's maiden name or whatever. So that's fine. I don't want to judge her for that. But she also told people when she was in the Air Force that she I'll skip down to the next one because she told friends in Air Force she alternated between calling herself Middle Eastern, Eastern European, and Jewish. So, yeah, she's whoever she's talking about. This feels very Santos-y to me.
Yeah, she was right. She said her dad was a Jew or part Jew or something, and she was raised as a messianic Jew. She has claimed.
She claimed that her father was a messianic Jew, which basically means a Jew for Jesus. So, like, it's not. Anyways, I'm not Jewish to stop people from getting that fight, but mainline Jewish people would obviously say that. Well, if you believe Jesus is the Messiah, then
I didn't know that existed. But okay,
yeah.
Jews for Jesus. So, all right,
yeah. So here's the punchline to that. Turns out her grandfather was involved in the Holocaust. He was in the Nazi army. There you go. There's her paternal grandfather, Henrik Meyerhofer, whose name she was going by until fairly recently, in a Nazi uniform in the 40s. Now, they had a draft. It doesn't mean he wanted to be fighting in the Nazi army, but also, like, I like to think of both of those to be like, nah, I'm not fighting for the Nazi army and take whatever happens next. But, you know, who knows? But anyway, so yeah, she's a line. I feel comfortable saying she's a line sack of shit. None of hers appear to involve crime, so she's not going to be in trouble like Santos. But this next guy walked right to the edge of being a criminal, and his name's Andy Ogles, and he's a congressman from
Tennessee.
Tennessee, baby. Yep,
that's right. Always putting her best foot forward from the volunteer state.
Wore my Tennessee hat in honor him for today's show. So here's the type of shit he spent this entire campaign saying. If you want to play this video, Matt.
If you believe Middle Tennessee's newest congressman, he's not only a businessman, he's also an economist, a trained law enforcement officer, even an expert in international sex crimes.
But an exclusive News Channel 5 investigation discovered Andy Ogles' life story may not be nearly as dramatic as he sometimes makes.
No, you cut it, man. All right. So what percentage of that stuff they just claimed do you think is true, Trey, if you had to guess?
Well, I mean, I feel like given the context of what we're talking about here, a pretty low percentage.
Zero. None of those things are true. None of those things are true. He's claimed to be an economist, although any look at his college records show that his major wasn't in economics. And also he's sort of like he's fuzzy about what college he went to because his actual bachelor's degree is from one school. He doesn't list that. Instead, he claims degrees from a more prestigious school, which he just took extension classes at, which if anybody, you know, anybody's a business person, they take like, you know, classes for the resume. There's essentially like a for-profit type situation. Anyway, the actual facts are, he claimed he had studied foreign policy and the Constitution in Western Kentucky and Middle Tennessee State, but there's no mention of economics. Yeah. So anyway, he also claimed to be a cop. He said, let's watch this video of him saying it many, many times, Matt, if you have that ready.
He claims like Vanderbilt and Dartmouth. But like you said, he just took like a couple like whatever online courses or something there and graduated from MITSU, MTSU, which MTSU hits for me. I got no problem with it. But yeah, he graduated from there. His diploma looks like it was from, he was 36 years old or something, they said in the news report. Like, so it's all just very muddied and confusing.
Yeah. Turns out there's nobody who keeps an actual life history, which is, I mean, I'm not saying we should establish government databases to fact check people's resumes, but like, it's weird what you can get away with if you're just determined to do it. Before, like this sort of thing happened recently, like Chris, you know, remember we've talked about Chris Rufo before, right? He's the guy that came up with the critical race theory panic. And he's like a political advisor for DeSantis now.
Yeah.
He's been telling people he went to Harvard and someone actually looked into it and he went to Harvard Extension School, which is basically one of those, it's not, literally, their guidelines say, if you go to Harvard Extension, please do not say you went to Harvard. It's not the same thing. Anyway, you can hit play on this, Matt.
And then I went into international sex crimes, which is obviously human trafficking.
You know, my midlife crisis, I went into law enforcement, specifically. I worked in human trafficking.
I did work in the anti-trafficking, the human trafficking space, and have a great deal of experience there as well.
Well, you know, part of my career, I worked in human trafficking.
All right. So here's the butt here. He was sworn in as a volunteer reserve deputy with the Williamson County Sheriff's Office in 2009, a position he lost 2 years later for not meeting minimum standards, making no progress in field training and failure to attend meetings. He got fired as a volunteer cop, Trey.
I didn't even know that could happen.
Yeah. There's also no record he worked at anything involved with sex trafficking, which, of course, why would you have a volunteer deputies do stuff like weekend night traffic enforcement? Like, I had a buddy who was a reserve cop, and like he did it. He was he was a professional officer for a while, and then he did volunteer reserve officer stuff to keep a certification for a couple of years after his after he quit the job, just in case he wanted to go back to it. But no, it's like, it's not like, it's like you're certified, yeah, but they're not giving you the important shit to do.
No.
As far as anybody can tell, but what he means by that, he did some work for a nonprofit called Abolition International. But what he claims he did is not nearly as interesting as the stuff he's saying they do. They paid him a grand total of $4,000, which he was claiming to be the COO, the chief operating officer. So I doubt right. He was the chief operating officer.
For and that company, that nonprofit, it was founded by a gospel singer. It's real Jesus-y. Mm-hmm. And what it seems like what they actually do is they give money to holistic ministries in places mm-hmm. where human trafficking is taking place, right? So it helps like the right. victims or something, I guess, through like churches, basically. Nothing wrong with yeah. any of that, but it's not, he's not out here fucking, you know, doing his international law and order SVU thing or being deployed to fucking Epstein Island to shut the whole thing down no. or nothing like that at all.
No. No, I just like these people. Like I was thinking about the other day is like up until very recently in human history, you could like abandon your family, move 11 miles away, start a new family and just tell people you're a dentist and open a shop. Right. Mm-hmm. These people aren't innovators. They're fucking throwbacks.
Right. Yeah. Just con man shit. It's not surprising there's con men and con women in Congress, you know?
Yeah.
It's right there in the name. But it is, right, it's harder to get away with it now. We know more about it, which is a good thing, I think.
I do love that all of these motherfuckers now have to work in sex trafficking as a little hat tip to QAnon. Because it scares me they all feel the need to do it. Because it's like how many – they have polling data. How many voters are there? I saw Will Sommer, we're going to use some of his work later as a reporter for the Daily Beast, had a book come out about QAnon recently, and he did a podcast interview about it. And they asked him to guess how many Americans believe in this shit, and he said, at least 10 million. And I was like, okay, here we go.
10 million is a high number, but where are we up to now? Were we around 400 million people in the country or something like that?
330, I think. 330.
Okay. Yeah. Well, give it time, Mark. All right. Let's speaking of QAnon, let's get into the hot new conspiracy theories out there. I found this one to be pretty wild. So I didn't know. I had not heard of this. I don't think it's called. There's a thing in city planning, urban planning called a 15-minute city. And it pretty much just boils down to planning and developing the city or neighborhood in such a way that the people who live there have access to everything a person needs within a 15-minute walk from where they live. So school, doctor, grocery store, a recreation and amenities and stuff, all within a 15-minute walk. That's the whole thing. That's the whole plan. Mm-hmm. And it's to cut down on pollution because, you know, then people don't have to drive everywhere, less cars on the road, all that type of thing. But also it's just like – that sounds pretty rad to me. Like if somebody lives in the fucking hell of urban sprawl that is the Los Angeles area, you know, like being able to just take a 15-minute walk to get everything you need and never having to leave your neighborhood sounds pretty sweet, but apparently not everybody agrees.
I live in a pretty fairly walkable neighborhood. It's not perfect, but within 10-minute walk, I have the bus that takes me to my gym. I got my, two bars, two restaurants and a grocery store, like a 17-minute walk. So I like it. I don't understand why anybody wouldn't be against it. Obviously, if you're disabled or something, it's going to be a different system, but that's why we need better public transit and with accessibility and stuff. But the reaction to this is so fucking weird, but let's talk about what it actually, Trey established what it is. Let's talk about where it is. So basically urbanists have been pushing for this for a long time for a lot of basic reasons, like better for the environment, like Trey said. It's also better for people's health to walk as opposed to driving. Not just the cardiovascular stuff because you burn calories, but your back – long commutes in a car cause back pain, all right? It's a shorter commute means more time with your family. It's like there's lots of stuff here that have nothing to do with the environment or anything else. It's just like good public accommodation. This idea has been spreading in Europe. Like, there's a huge pedestrian city center in Spain in Pontevedra. They did it in Paris, and a lot of people seem to like it. The COVID sped a lot of this up because more people working from home, and also cities had the space with less traffic on the roads to do these kind of improvements to try them and see if they work. And if you don't like it, we can go back to the other way. But I like a world where people can try new things and see if it hits better, right?
Right.
This idea spread to the UK, where it's become like extremely contentious for insane reasons we're going to get into. It's just about, like, how do I put this? There's two separate things to the UK thing. They changed the way cities, streets flow with, like, something called modal filters or whatever. This is all fucking, this shit should be nerdy. I don't want to get into it too much, but they also put up, they may restrict cars to go down certain streets. So, like, if you, like, a lot of, in LA here, you have a lot of parking reserved people with permits, right? So more like, sort of like that, but with actual street access. And they're going to use cameras to take pictures of license plates to see who's allowed, whether the car is on the right street or not. And people took that idea combined with the separate idea, which is the walkable cities. And they think they're setting up George Orwell's 1984.
Right.
Imprison people in their neighborhoods.
Yes. So we're finally arriving at, like, the conspiracy theory. Like, what is the problem with this? Well, they claim it's like, yeah, we're being districted, right? They're going to imprison us in districts for which we are not free to leave. And during which time we're under 24-hour surveillance, and there you go. They're just trying to control you and keep you in your little hog pen in your lovely neighborhood with all the amenities and all this shit, you know, but you can't leave ever. And
your
brother is watching you. That's what they are worried about, right?
That's part of it. Yeah. It's by, they think it's about social control, which is like, can we just try something new? Like, if I have to live in a city, I want to be able to walk where I want to go, right? If I have my druthers, I probably live in the woods, but I got to be in Los Angeles for work. But, like, why can't I walk to the bar? Why is it a globalist conspiracy if I'm like, I'd rather walk to the bar instead of having to take an Uber home, right?
Yeah, well, they said, you know, one thing you haven't heard, they said, you know, they already had 15-minute cities in Poland during the Nazi occupation. And in 1941, the Nazis introduced the death penalty for going out. And that's them being like, yeah, you want that to happen here? But it's like, I don't get what the two things really have to do with each other. Do you know what I mean? Like, if our fucking overlords want to decree that you're to be put to death if you leave your house because of another pandemic or just a lockdown or just because they say so, what the fuck does it matter if the gym is a 10-minute walk away in your neighborhood now, you know, because they've switched some things up? Like, if they want to fucking kill us all, they're just going to kill us all, right? Evil government, like, mm-hmm. Why are they wasting time on where the grocery store is in relation to your house? Like, I don't.
Yeah, you cut the middleman and just kill us. Yeah.
Right. So yeah. I don't see what difference it makes.
This type of shit. So it appears to me like European countries historically have been able to try new things. They have more nimble governments than we do for whatever reason. And, like, it feels like we've exported enough of our lunacy that maybe our exported lunacy could stop progress in other countries, which I find infuriating. But also, a couple cities here are trying this. Like, it's like there's been a version of it planned in Seattle, and also the progressive hotspot of Utah. Now, people like living in villages, right? So I imagine the Utah version, they say it's going to have affordable housing, but I imagine by the time it exists, it'll be like a gentrified version of this plan, where it's super expensive to live in a place with nice amenities. People like living this way, a lot of them. You know, like, people don't like spending a lot of time in cars. But I saw an internet argument where people are talking about this, and it's like, and somebody was just like, it's just about being able to have your kid's school be like 15 minutes away. And they're like, well, what if I want to drive 45 minutes to my kid's school? And, like, I don't know what to fucking say that lady. Like, what,
I know.
Is like, what if I like my long commute? Well, you can still drive around. Just if you live 10 minutes from work, drive around. I don't know what
to say. It's literally just trying to make your life easier and give you better options and whatnot. And they're like, no, fuck that.
Yeah.
This is communism. I like things to be shitty. That's how I prefer. You know why? Because I choose it to be that, even though they didn't choose any of that. You know what I mean? It's just like, that's just how their life is. And it's literally just like, you know, different bad, same good to these people. Like, why you can't be changing stuff? That's tyranny.
Anything new and different is socialism or communism.
Right.
That's exactly what they think. So this woman, her name's Carla Campaigns. Cool name, by the way, Carla. She's in Haringey, North London. She moved there a few years ago in search of a community, she said, an area where I can make friends that would go to the park with me on a Saturday and where there are cafes nearby and everything is in walking distance. Sounds like fucking communism. So on February 12th, she posted a thread about the benefits of 15-minute neighborhoods. And somebody responded, she got a bunch of death threats for this. This is an anonymous lady who just lives in this neighborhood. That's not freedom. That's a socialist prison, said one reply to her. And then you're Nazi one you already brought up. And the aggression of the messages left her shaken. How can I put my family at risk from someone for just saying that we'd like to be able to walk to the local pub? And then it turned to this expert on online disinformation is like, there's no reason that an urban planning initiative should have anything to do with the idea that Bill Gates wants you to eat bugs.
Right. And like,
I don't know how to live with these people, man. It's like you go from zero to somebody's like, well, maybe it'd be cool if this neighborhood had a restaurant. They're like, communists. It's like, ah, fuck. So yeah, the QAnon types are mad about walkable neighborhoods now. And this is a video from Edmonton where a district planner went out and talked to these protesters to try to explain to them that it's fine, actually.
This is maddening.
What's the point of a district?
What's the point? I'll answer that question. Do you actually want an answer to that question?
Sure.
Okay, we have neighborhoods right now. The city right now is divided into about 400 neighborhoods. Has anyone, it's been that true for, I don't know, as long as Edmonton has existed. Has anyone tried to confine you to your neighborhood?
No.
But they never called it a district. They never called it a district.
That is true. So
I did during lockdown.
Neighborhoods exist, and all during COVID, I came and went.
Wait, hold on, I'm answering your question.
I'm going to answer your question.
You said we were never.
You wanted me to answer your question.
Short stop. You said we were never confined to our neighborhood, but they certainly tried under COVID. Yeah. And let's just pretend for a second we go along with the 15-minute city plan, and now we have these wonderful districts. How much easier would it be for them to literally lock us down into a little tiny 1.5 square kilometers?
Is there going to be a stipulation in this policy that says, look, we will never have barricades here?
No, we didn't consider that because...
We didn't consider that because that's the exact plan that we have considered.
Because, you got the mic. There's infinite things that the plans will not do. Right. We're not going to neuter your chinchilla, for example.
He's like, we didn't put everything we're not going to do into the plan, guys.
Right. That's not how plans generally work, right? Like, these cover the things we are going to do. And not everything on earth we're not going to do. And if you see in there, we don't intend to do barricades or whatever. But yeah, just this guy's a fucking city planner or whatever. You know what I mean? They're just trying to like add a little more efficiency and convenience to, you know, and his community. And he's got to deal with this shit. It's got to feel, it's got to drive you insane.
Was like, we already have neighborhoods. It's like, yeah, like all the thing different here is they're calling them districts. And maybe this rollout would have worked better if they called it like a subdivision name, like Meadowing Heights or whatever, as opposed to District 14. But like, just start, have a naming contest. Let kids name it like they name elementary schools. And so these psychos won't think of District 9 when they see the word district. This is absolutely fucking infuriating. One other publication tracked down the guy who came up with this idea. He's a naturalized Colombian who lives in Paris by the name of Carlos Moreno. And the headline killed me. 15-minute city conspiracy theory is insane, says 15-minute city creator. So this guy. So he's like, who would want to live within easy walking distance of shops, cafes, theaters, and swimming pools? Those, it seems, who claim that Moreno's 15-minute city concept is a Stalinist climate lockdown plot to confine people to ghettos and thus easier for global cabals to control. I want to talk more about Moreno in a second, but this piece included, I think we've talked about Jordan Peterson before. He's the Canadian former like philosophy professor who's become a right-wing influencer, and he had to be hospitalized because he's an all meat and pills diet and almost died. Anyway, so he posted a tweet that included here where he says that like he called it the 15-minute city's plan a perversion and said that idiot tyrannical bureaucrats would henceforth decide by fiat where you're allowed to drive. That's just what fucking roads are. That's what roads are. A bureaucrat has decided where you should drive.
Where you're allowed to drive. Yeah, they do. Never really thought about roads that way, but you're right. They do kind of just dictate where you are and are not allowed to drive. I don't know why I said kind of. That's exactly what roads do.
That's a one-way street sign is now tyranny? What about a stop sign? Do I have to yield? Is that government over? Like, it's like these people are so fucking stupid. It'd be like, well, I'm not going where that guy says for me to drive. And you're like, well, that's where we put the bridge. Yeah. You're not telling me how to get across this river. It's like, Jesus Christ. Oh my God. These people drive me absolutely insane. But one thing about Moreno, so he lives in France because he was a left-wing guerrilla group in Colombia in the 70s. And so he fled as a political, refugee. That's why he lives in France now. So his honest to God background, where later in life, when he got his degree and stuff, he became, he was like a mathematician, I think, and then transitioned into urban planning. So he's like, but his background is huge fodder for these fucking conspiracy mongers, because he was a left-wing radical in Colombia in the 70s, right, fighting an oppressive and tyrannical military dictatorship. Right. And somehow now, 50 years later, he's now a tool of the cabal. It's like, okay, fuck off and shit. Okay, now we can. All right. It's anyway, I don't want to, we can go to the you can look for comments and stuff, Matt. Okay. I'm so exhausted by this shit.
There was another clip where they put a little 12-year-old girl up there in Oxford, England, where they're doing this, and she went in this whole thing about how, like, you know, oh, you're trying to force me to walk home, and you say, oh, but there's cameras, so they're there for your protection. So now I'm being surveilled 24 hours a day. You really think my privacy means nothing? I should be under, you know, watch at all times. And also, you know, this makes it, it's like the implication, as you put it in here, is like, it makes it easier for fucking pedophiles to kidnap kids or human traffic them, right, or whatever, by forcing them to be walking everywhere.
Right.
Or whatever is like part of the pitch of it.
She was definitely walking up to that. But also her first point of video, which I don't want to show because it's too long and it just creeps me out watching a little kid be a right-wing radical. But she's saying that, like, well, she visits her friends in another district because it'll be a round road surrounding all the districts, right? Like a hub to get to different various entry points, that the environmental stuff is bullshit because a parent's 10-minute drive has turned to a 30-minute drive and she doesn't want to walk it. I'm like, If you're correct, I don't know the plan, but if you're right, that is a good point. Go to the planning meeting and raise it.
Mm-hmm.
That's your right as a citizen.
Yeah.
You don't need to overthrow the government over that. But like the second point, she's talking about, like, she's mixing up the traffic camera thing. And by the way, I don't like traffic cameras. I got a $400 ticket for running a red light last year. Abolish them. but anyway, the idea that that's like a direct line to 1984 and her being surveilled. Also, you're worried about seeing snatched off the street. You don't want cameras, but also CCTV cameras are everywhere in England.
Right. Clarence Pinckney says everything is a conspiracy if you don't know how anything works.
My thing is they go for the most obvious shit that like vaccines are one of our oldest technologies. Like, it's the simplest thing. Like, urban planning is the simplest, most boring thing. There are real conspiracies. They make conspiracy theorists like me look bad, because conspiracy theories, the true ones are on the front page of the fucking business section.
Dottie Kelly says, good God, don't ask our fat asses to walk. Yeah. A lot of people. Yeah, I can't really see this ever taking off in America for sure. We fucking got way too big of a hard on for our cars. S. Hogan says, it's oddly comforting how much this kind of stuff drives Smart Mark crazy too.
It's just like, if we ever confront, like, we had a big problem with COVID and we could not confront it, right? I mean, most people did their duty or did at least half-ass their duty and got their at least one dose of the vaccine and wore masks sometimes and stuff like that. But like, if we confront a real problem, how the fuck can you get people on the same page enough to like deal with it?
Right.
It's stupid.
No, I know. That's what COVID really like illustrated, that exact thing. Like, it just made you realize, like, oh wow, if we like, you know, if there's a much more serious version of this type of scenario in the future or whatever, or like the fucking, you know, that Adam McKay movie, Don't Look Up or whatever, with the comet coming at us and everything, was fucking perfect, I thought, because after COVID, how could you deny any of it? Like, there's no way we won't fuck it up. You won't be able to get enough people together to do the thing the right way in the first place. Like, we just, I mean, we're hopeless as a species overall because of how fucking dumb and crazy such a large percentage of us apparently are. It's wild.
I like that a lot of the UK towns and cities seem to be moving forward this, and the fever swamp people will fizzle out and they'll find a new thing to focus on. They'll just build their new cities or they redesign their towns or whatever. And it's probably the way you do this is because there's too many of these people, but there's not that many of them. The problem in our context is these are the people who go scream at city hall meetings. And so they're overrepresented because they think there's real public anger about that out there. And there just isn't. Right. Everyone else is just at home watching TV.
It's like controversies about a comedy special or something when it's like two people tweeting about it on the internet and that's all it really was. You know what I mean? But that those tweets get picked up and turned into a story and then the story gets spread around or whatever. And it's like, oh, this is... the internet is outraged over this. It's like, not really. There was two or three people. It's the same thing with this type of shit. And also it's like we brought up before, like, you know, there was people outright, people thought it was tyrannical when they passed like seatbelt laws and stuff, you know what I mean? And started making those modifications to the vehicles. Now, like nobody ever bitches about seatbelts anymore, you know, like fucking.
Did you see one that went viral recently about drunk driving laws?
Yeah, I did. Hang on. Yes, I did. And that hit for me. Lola Podinsky says COVID illustrated that we are doomed. And I mean, yeah, I tend to agree. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, there's local news reports interviewing people about a new law against drug driving from like, I don't know, the 70s or 80s or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. And this guy was like, what's the world coming to when a man can't drink a beer on the way home from work? And it's like, I mean, okay, one beer, you're probably fine. Just be discreet. But then the other woman was like, it feels like she's smoking while she's got a baby in the front seat, no car seat. And goes like, it feels like we're becoming a communist country.
Right. Thank you, Shep, on YouTube for reminding everybody to please hit the like button. Smash that like button, folks, as well as subscribing, sharing and rating and reviewing and all that good internet stuff. It surely does help. Right. And I try to remind myself of that with a lot of this stuff where it's like, we do be like this stupid, panicky animals or whatever. And this does happen. It's not a brand new phenomenon or anything. And generally, you just kind of ignore it and push through and do the shit anyway. And they give up and move on. They find a new car to chase or whatever eventually. And so, you know, I don't know. Ruby Laguna says, Mark, you really take on a shit ton of stress and frustration for our benefit, hoping you're having some recreational relaxation available for later. Smoking emoji, leaf emoji. Talking about the wacky weed, I do believe, Mark.
Here's my thing. My problem is I consume this stuff 24/7 anyway, so at least I have the show to scream about it.
That's why I asked him if he wanted to do the show in the first place, because he would send us text messages and stuff about, or, you know, talking about all the shit he's reading and how insane it is or whatever. And I was like, well, let's just, put that to use. So
I want to say, like, because the problem, like the Oxford thing, like there was a mass protest about this fucking, I'm assuming people came from all over England to pump up their numbers. And that rally the little girl spoke at was like too heavily attended for me. But I still think these people's numbers are relatively small. But the rest of us have to show up to boring city council meetings. So they know that we're cool with people trying boring new stuff instead of being screamed at about no new housing or whatever.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. It's also like a confirmation by, so, I don't know. It's one of those things. I don't think it's not confirmation
selection bias.
See, I did it like just that selection bias, maybe. Yeah. But like, if you're okay with a thing, you're not going to show up and just sit there placidly and be like, yeah, I think this is cool. You know, like you're not, all those people just sit at home and the only people that show up are the ones who are trying to froth and rage and scream about it. All right. Thank you all for joining us. Go to treycrowder.com, get the tickets. Get my special on Amazon, please. It's available now. Look that some bitch up. Also, you can support this show on Patreon, weeklyskews.com/more. You get bonus episodes for it and express your love for us in the meantime, which we appreciate. Either way, thank you for being here on the main show. We'll keep doing it. If you keep watching them, appreciate you. See you in 7 days. Love you. Bye.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free to play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Q
QTS is building more than a data center in Dane County. We're partnering with Alliant Energy to enable 750 megawatts of new renewable energy sources, supporting sustainable generation while lowering costs. We use a closed-loop, water-free cooling system that conserves billions of gallons of water each year. And we're investing millions locally, from scholarships and workforce development to nonprofits and first responders. QTS, powered by people, driven by purpose. Paid for by QTS.